On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we salute a part of the No Chill family. Travis Nichols, creator of TNT Training and founder of the Southern California Academy, has a vision, is making the sacrifices, and working tirelessly to make them happen. His approach to skill development is built around relationships. Trav digs in on the mentorship approach and works from the inside out to make not just better players, but better people. As Gil sees it, that's no easy feat. What you have to give up and turn down along the way can turn off a lot of people. For Agent Zero, a guy who is used to the self-made approach, he acknowledges the support players have on the way up is the ultimate weapon. For Trav, he's brought that East Coast grind to the West Coast's rich talent tree, and it couldn't come from a better guy. It's a No Chill Podcast. Remember, you can get every episode as soon as they drop on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast. Also, catch the video version on the No Chill YouTube channel. Subscribe, comment, like, all that stuff when you get there. And don't forget, every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fubo, it's No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. That's Gilbert Arenas. That's Travis Nichols. We're off and running on this edition because this is fam right here. Mm-hmm. This is the group. Trav, welcome on in. I thought we actually had done this before. It feels like we've done it before.
Because we've done a lot of film.
So for people that don't know, Trav, you're connected to Gil and our group here through your training you've done here in LA, but you're originally from New York. Yep. New York kid ended up in Cali, right into his nest.
Right in his backyard, huh?
Mm-hmm. And so what you've done is, and we'll get into this in a minute, is you've established the Southern California Academy. Yes. So you're all the way West Coast now.
Right now, yes. Mm-hmm. But I would never forget that. I'm originally from New York.
East Coast at heart.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's East Coasters, man, we don't give it up.
I know, I see. I understand.
How did you become, first of all, how did you get introduced to basketball?
Well, I started with my best friend. He played football, and I was playing, and the dad was like, man, you should play basketball. You actually be better. Like, football, you get hurt quick. Because he sees his son get hurt all the time. And then I started playing. I shot the ball, started playing around with a bunch of kids. You know, I was taller than most kids, and I liked it. It was easy. So that's how I started.
This was in Brooklyn?
Yeah, this was in Brooklyn.
Okay, so take us there. Yeah, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn,
yeah.
Okay.
Brooklyn, this is the, like, year, era, 90s?
Yeah, yeah.
90s basketball in Brooklyn.
90s, late to early 2000s.
90s.
Nice. Wait, you'd have been in the N1 era.
Yeah, of course. Who wasn't watching N1?
No, I mean, that was your era. Okay, that was your...
Skip to my little...
Yeah, that was the best because they used to have a little... that's when... That's when basketball was you wanted to be... you have style now and it's like everyone wants to be the NBA style. It's like this, you know, we want to be looking all, we got money. Then you wanted to really be a hooper. You always bought the N1 shirts with all the little slogans in the back. Yeah. Who got game? Ooh, that was the...
I'm coming for your girl.
With the hoop.
Yeah. But was it more flash than substance?
Around that time, people wanted to be the next AI, or they would go to the N1 guys. I want to be hot sauce or something like that.
You know what was... What was weird is, I think Skip to My Lou gave a false impression of street ball. And what I mean by that is, he was an NBA player who had a street game, not a street ball player trying to make it to the NBA.
Right.
See, and I think, because I didn't realize it. So, you hear the stories of all the things he was doing, the fancy stuff, but they didn't realize that was actually basketball being played. It wasn't a street, he had a street style to his game, but he played under rules. It's not like when Hot Sauce came out and, he's doing all these carries and traveling and doing all these moves. No, all his moves was legit. So when he came to the NBA, it's the same moves. It's the same thing. His same fancy spin, same, he's gonna. So But when you heard Skip to My Lou and he's doing all this, and you just thought straight street ball. And when I first seen him, I was like, yo, he's a nice-ass guard. Why don't, you know, yeah, he's going to throw it behind and wrap it around and throw it between my legs in a pass, but that's not what I was envisioning. You know, you're envisioning, bounce it, yep, roll it around, carry it, you know. Yeah, you spit on the floor.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that a little bit, was because it was like the idea was like, will this work? That will he be able to play in the NBA? Because it was, they thought he was,
He was a street baller. Yeah.
Right.
And when he was a basketball player who just had his street style. Mm-hmm.
Right. Whereas maybe Steve Francis was more of a street baller.
Nah, he was a basketball player with a street style.
It's the same.
Yeah. That's why they made it to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Then you have some players who were street ballers, like their moves was because of carries and travels and, you know, doing stuff like that, double dribbling. Then it's like, well, do you know how to play regular basketball when there's rules and a referee and they couldn't transfer? Because their whole style was built on this vision of I'm trying to make the N1 team. You know, and it's...
So for a kid from Brooklyn, you saw a lot of that firsthand. But for you, you went really the organized route to St. Francis.
Yeah, I went straight to the organized route. I wasn't thinking about playing no street ball, you know. And St. Francis, that's where I grew up. Like, that's where I became who I am today because of what my coach put me through, you know. You know how some kids, we blaming the coach, oh, I ain't play because he don't like me. You know, it's crazy. I used to be that guy. And then while I was at St. Francis, I realized I was literally was just making this battle between my coach and I when it was really me. You know, I was the one nonchalant in practice. I ain't go hard all the time. Like, I played a role in that, of why he didn't play me how I was supposed to be played. And that's why transferring to this training route, being a coach basically, I just want to help these kids understand that part. Because a lot of these kids these days, this, you're making up these crazy battles in their head between them and the coach when they really play a role in that as well, you know.
And guess what? Kids in authority, they always bump it. That's like always gonna happen.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, it's one of those things is, you know, you have different type of coaches. We really gotta understand that. You have nonchalant coaches, positive coaches, negative coaches, coaches that, you know, they want to poke you to get the best out of you, you know. So
that's what my coach
said. You know, so you have, you know, all these different styles of coaches that at the end of the day, you're going to face every single one of them at some point, you know, in your basketball career. You just have to learn, you know, learn how to play with that coach, what he's, you know, trying to get you to do. Yep. You know, if this coach worries more about defense, then that means, you know, if you're not putting in that effort, he's going to ride you. Yeah. You have that. I remember I coached that, hey, when I stop yelling at you, that's when I don't care about you no more. You know, you have that coach. You know, so it's like you got to understand who's who and not get, you know, caught up in your emotions about it. And lose yourself because you think, man, the coach got it out for me. I'm like, you know, let's be honest. If the coach really didn't care about you, bruh, you wouldn't even exist. He wouldn't even mention your name. You'd be just sitting on the bench, number 15, and he's going to look down at 14. He ain't even going to think you then. Hey, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. And you don't even exist anymore. So the fact that he's still putting energy into you means he does still see something. And he's just waiting for you to turn it on.
And really, a coach, they got to have your best interest at heart. You're on their team. They want their team to be successful. They want you to thrive on the team. Now, I know what you're thinking. There are some guys that are my way or the highway. You probably don't want to play for that coach. And if you don't fit in, it won't work out.
It depends. I mean, it depends on what type of player you are. Yeah, you know,
that's all it comes down to.
Yeah.
But even as a kid, is that the hardest thing, is to get them to understand authority?
Yes. Yes. Especially now, yeah. That's why these kids need to have good mentors like myself and people like Dash and Gilbert talking to them. You need mentors like that because now we can help these kids understand how to play with any type of coach that Gilbert just said. So that's what's really missing, is the mentor. They're like, some of us trainers need to stop thinking about us just being trainers and teach them how to do between the legs and all this. We got to work on this part of the game as well and be an actual mentor, not just a trainer to some of these kids out here.
And you know, the funny thing is, if you took street basketball and tried to organize that, you can't make organized basketball street. You can't, like, put that back in the box.
Well, you know, I don't even know if there's, like, really street basketball anymore. There's no, I don't think there's really any N1 style is that trick and all. I don't think that's, you know, I don't think it's there anymore. I mean, you still have, you know, highlight plays, but it's more basketball rules now. You don't really have the N1 mixtape and the ball up.
No.
But more N1. Ball up was basketball.
But I mean, really, those guys were playing, the N1 guys were just playing for...
You're playing for highlights. Yeah. You know, but you still had, you know, people like Bone Collector, you know, you had Bone Collector, you had Professor. You had Baby Shaq, who were basketball players. You know, they just took that basketball style and went to the N1 because they had an advantage. But then you had somebody like, you know, like a Hot Sauce, who was just a trickster. He didn't have the feel of an actual organized game. You know, so you had guys who, you know, were basketball players, learned a little tricks to survive. But for the most part, I think, you know, it kind of fell off towards the end. And then everyone just adapted just being basketball players with just better moves.
So the steps that you took following college to get to where you are as a trainer, what fell into place after, let's say, college?
Like how I was after college? I just started understanding the game better, you know, and watching more film. I think a lot of players lack in watching the game instead of just watching highlights. Mm-hmm. And that's when I actually grew. And then I have my cousin who was, people know him by Dash. He taught me a lot. Because now he worked with the Sparks. So he just grew so much, man. The wisdom that he's showing me now, that he's telling me about the game, like, is crazy. And then you bump into guys like Gilbert and Karan that's just teaching you how work on more of 10% of the game than just the 90%, you know? Like, I mean, not the 10%. I mean, the 90% than just the 10%, because the 10% is the skills. And guys like them helped me not to, like, just focus on that, because that's how I did in the beginning. I was just focused on the 10% and not worrying about the 90% of the game.
Yeah, when he means 10 and 90, 90% is your basketball game. No, not the mind, your basketball game.
Yeah.
Just the actual game. So if you average in 36, the 28 points that you score versus the ones that's going to be on SportsCenter. So, you know, when we first met, you know, when we're training, you know, he was like, yo, why are we doing that? And I'm like, well, this is how I warm up. This is what. He's like, well, we need to come down and do this. And I was like, well, who the hell is guarding me from this line to this line? What do I need to do? 26 in and out, crossovers. This is empty space. Like, if I'm on a fast break, it's just a straight dribble. If the guy's picking me up at three, I'm just going to walk past this. So me doing all these moves in empty space is irrelevant, you know, in the game of basketball. So I said, you know, you take these 10% plays and you train. You got to mean, these are instinct moves that players do instinctively. Then you're trying to take that instinctual move and make it a drill to try to make it natural. And then wonder why the turnover is not working, because you're not working on his actual game. You're working on this one creative move that he's waiting for. You're going to get that once or twice this month. So if that's your whole game is built on these jelly finishes, that's a 10% move. Yeah, you can work on it to have it in your body when you're reacting, but to have that your main focus, when you get in the game, you don't have a regular game. You're just waiting for the highlight reel play. You know, so it's like, well, you know, you have, you know, 12 points. 8 of them was, and be like, yeah, I killed him today. Like, bro, you had 12 points, bro. That's 5 minutes.
Look at the guy that had 36.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you just.
So it's too much icing. It's all ice cream, you know, like too much sweetness, right? It's not enough substance.
But how people train now?
That 10%
when you first started.
Oh, when I first started.
I'm thinking of a guy specifically like DeMar DeRozan. He could do a 360 layup. That's reactionary.
That's what I'm saying.
That's natural.
That's his natural instinct.
But what he's filled in with, his post game, his mid-range game, you know, everything that other 90%. That's why DeMar's great.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not filling. That's his game. The 360 is just something that he just naturally do when, you know, he sees a certain, you know, so
that's
to have,
saying,
to go through,
to change that,
so turn that into a drill, like, yeah, we're going to all be doing 360 turn. They don't, like, because how he sees it in real time, you can't mimic it. you can't mimic that. You can't mimic when John Wall, is coming down full speed and he gets ready to jump. It's, oh, I got to retwist. Like, nah, that's. You can't mimic the defense, you can try, but to waste hours mimicking that is pointless because you have 90% of the game to play. You know, so that's what we worked on. And I know, you know, so we never bumped heads on anything.
No, we didn't.
We never bumped heads because, you know, like, he's, you gotta remember, he's training me. And I'll ask him, why are we doing this? Because I want to see what he says. And then he asked me, well, yo, why are we not doing that drill or this drill? And I'm like, well, boom, 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 boom. And then, you know, so he's like, okay. So he, you know, the best part about Travis, he was willing to learn instead of one of those dudes like, I already know it all. I got this. It was never that. You know, I'm like, when he's doing it, because even when he's working out people, I'm never going to say, hey, Trav, hey, just wait till he's done. Let him finish and be like, yo, you know, I did some counting. They only took about boom, 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 this many shots. You might want to just add a little bit more. And he'd be like, all right, I got you. You know, it's one of those where it's not, you know, he just knows next time we're just going to add a little bit more.
And was that also because of the timing when you were coming here trying to find your place on the map? So you were willing to listen more?
Yeah, of course. I wanted to learn, you know. I wanted to be good at teaching. That's what I wanted to be good at.
Because that's the most important thing as a coach or a trainer. You're a teacher.
Yeah, of course. Like, come on, a freaking certified scorer. You wanna see what's in his head.
And the sad part is, like, and I'm picking his brain. Like when Elijah needs training, I don't train him like that. You know, I find the best people. Like, yo, hey, can you train Elijah? Boop, yep. Like.
Well, what's the difference? Because you could give Elijah, hey, this is your workout for 2 hours. You could tell him, you can give him the drills, the basics, right?
I don't know. It's different when you have a son in the.
No, it's different. It's like asking an NBA player, you're an NBA player. Why do you need a trainer who didn't make it to the NBA? It's like having a fat track coach. You know, I get that he can't run this 100, but he can see something that helps me. You know, so it's one of those things where he knows how to control 12, 20, 30 people. You know, put them in drills, make them get the best. Like, that's what we need. That's why I come. New updated moves, you know, help me. So, because got to remember, he has to give me the information, and then I process it and turn it into the NBA, you know, then put it into my NBA brain and figure out how to make it work inside of this offense. Because what the information is giving me has no offense, it's raw. You know, it's like you're giving me the steak, the potatoes, and I have to go make this dish. So I need all the information. So now when I go back to, you know, my organization, I know how to station the moves up. You know, and that's what trainers and what do we call it? I can't even say train. There's a better word.
Coaches. Let's say coaches. It's
development coach.
Let's say coaches.
Is it a development coach? It's a coach.
You're still a coach.
Yeah, but your focus is development. Head coach.
Okay, when you go to the NBA, what are you, a skills developer coach? You're assistant coach, actually.
Dash is
assistant coach, but he's a developer.
Right.
See, they lucky now. Man, they're so... Because, you know, you have people like Dash and Phil, you know, who actually develop players. We didn't have that. Like, if you ask the 90s and early 2000s, there was no... Yeah, it was an ex-NBA player, but he didn't... He was just in there just to kick it with the dudes. He was just to kick it and be a snitch. I guarantee you, if you ask anybody in the age of like 30, 38 to 34, 3, and say, yo, how's your developmental coach? Like when you first started. Like, that man didn't develop that out. Like, he did just try to kick it with us and just told when we was like doing stuff wrong. That's all they were. You know, you didn't have that. It was that player who can, he was like, he's a player, so the players understand him, but he's really an actual coach. So the player development coach, for the most part, you didn't really mess with him like that because you didn't know what side they were on. You know, are you with us as a player or are you with them?
But that role
changed.
Yeah, I'm trying to think when that was because I'm thinking of Phil Handy.
Yeah.
Because he trained Kobe.
Yeah, Phil Handy's only been in the league, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say 5.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so
but he was with the Lakers at a.
Like, you would think somebody like Tyronn Lue would be a great player development coach. Nah, he wants to be a coach. You know, so you know those guys are not gonna be spending their time teaching kids how to develop their skills. So you only had a few teams. Like, I remember when I used to go to like Miami. There used to be a couple kids, you know, trainers, you know, that we used to work those guys out before the game. Like, okay, they got some good stuff over there. You know. Other than that, we just get our strength conditioning coach just rebound for us. So, you know, it's
definitely more to it than that, where you are.
You have training coaches, you have, you know, them coming into the NBA, teaching, you know, individual skill work to the whole team. I mean, the game is really being involved.
And then for what you're doing now, this was TNT originally.
TNT, yep.
And you were working with players. Would you say you had a signature style or you adapted to the type of player they were?
I say both. My signature style was to tap up here first before we would do anything else, because if you don't have this, you might as well just quit. And then after that, I figured, you know, I watched the player. See how they would fit in whatever system they're in. Like, say, someone like I had before, like JC, that's Teron's son. He's a wing guy. He likes to catch the ball in the wing, drive, slash, catch and shoot. Like, I make sure I train him for that system for right now. And then in the off season, that's when we can work on other things. But during the season and stuff like that, work on what's to help him be successful in that system.
So it's a matter of both. Immediate goals and then the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Depending on time of year.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that is a very excellent style and approach, because imagine if he spent the whole summer with you and you was teaching him how to come off pick and roll and do all these moves. And then when he gets to his season, he's a corner slasher cut guy. Everything you done updated him with, he can't use, and everything he needs, he actually didn't practice on. And I know people wouldn't, the example would be Josh Hart. I interviewed Josh Hart last year, and he said, you know, I trained the whole summer, like working the pick and roll, reading the pick, coming off, you know, and then the season starts, and then, you know, Rondo came, LeBron came.
They got LeBron.
Yeah, Rondo came, LeBron came, and all these guys, and I just became a corner three-point shooter. And he says, and I didn't work on that the whole season. Everything was moving with the ball, because that's what they needed from me to the year. Like, yo, you need to move more with the ball, come pick and roll and be attacking. And then it was like, all right, you're a corner guy. And he was like, I didn't really practice catching shooting, so it felt like I just wasted my whole summer. You know, but that ends up happening. So the fact that you're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to focus you during the season on perfecting your position and how you play in your system. And in the summer, we work on updating.
Yeah, just a little mixture. You still work on what you need to work on, but then we add some stuff to the side. Like, that's what
the true lab only can exist in the off season. Yeah. In season, you got to be in, you know, schedule grind mode. And you got to also, like, for this example of Josh, was that team was Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kuzma. It was that different group. Mm-hmm. What changed? So he was thought things were going this direction. You throw in a LeBron and then you get rid of those guys except for Kuzma. Yeah, way different. Mm-hmm. You know, apples and oranges.
Yeah.
So that challenge for you is, I guess, what, keeping them, you know, in their head locked in?
Yeah, keep them, you know, just have them locked in, like you said.
All right, so let's talk about what you put together last year in 2019 out here. So you've been in California how long?
5 years now.
That's a hell of a path, you know, and came together quick, really, but you established this network and really that you saw a major opportunity. So right. You established Southern California Academy.
Yep.
Tell us more about that, first of all.
It's a prep school out here. And we basically, my whole mission was to help these kids get better opportunities because I know the resources that we have. We have coaches like Julius, Coach Dash that have numerous access to college coaches and NBA guys. And I know people like Gilbert, Teron, like, so that when they want to go pro, they know that they could come back to the fraternity, which is SCA. And that's why this is like my baby right now. So that's why I'm all in with these kids, and all the kids knows that. Like, if you ask anything about Travis, they will tell you, Travis is all in with us. Like, he want to see us succeed. And I make sure, when I created this, I made sure I had all the dots connected. Like, hey, when this happened, I know we go help this kid get to either this division, whatever Division I school, or Division II school, D3, NIA, or if they want to go pro, we have that covered. And we got probably the best development team. I'm not trying to sound cocky, but we probably have one of the best development team out here in Southern California. So, yeah, SCA is like probably the place to be right now in LA.
Yeah,
there it is.
You don't have a lot of prep schools out here.
But behind the scenes, what did it take to put that together?
A lot.
So what went on behind the scenes to actually put Southern California Academy together?
Man, it was tough, you know. One of the main things you had to make sure is you have a fully NCAA accredited school. And those schools are hard to come by. Like, you can't find a lot of those. Some schools, they say they're NCAA accredited, but then when your senior year come, you find out, oh, that credit won't transfer over. So it took me a while to make sure I found the right school so that when these kids come with us and they sign with us and go to the actual school that support us, academically, I made sure that they fully NCAA accredited. I made sure we have all the resources to make sure they be able to graduate, and it's not just about basketball here. So that was probably one of the toughest parts. Everything else was easy.
So, you know, what's the, you know, just for, you know, listeners, what's the benefit for sports, for a athlete to be in a academy versus regular school?
So the way our curriculum is set up is we just do our core classes. So right now we basically living out that true definition of being a student athlete. We just do your core classes, your math, history, science, English, and then you take an elective class. And then you train for the rest of the day. Train, practice.
So is your elective class?
Like a second language or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Something that counts. Like, so most of the elective class that counts is like a second language.
Okay. So like, was it dance and piano? Y'all took all that out. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So now that's used as training.
Yeah, and not all those extra 4 hours that you're using going to these other classes. Now we just scratch that out. All right, your PE class is basically training with us.
So now PE is basketball training or whatever sports training.
The dancing, parenting.
So was it the parenting?
Yep. Home ec.
So home ec and cooking all that is more basketball. Wow. So you're basically getting what, 4 hours to 5 hours of actual basketball practice.
Yeah. And some days we throw on like every Friday we do in life skills where we bring in guys like you to come in to mentor to the kids, bring in some people that owns multiple companies to help them learn how to manage money. Because, you know, some of these kids might not play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to show them how they could use basketball to get what they really want to do. I trained numerous of people that became an actor, that became an entrepreneur, a model, and all they do is thank me and say, hey, the skills that you taught me on the court, it carried over to everything I do now.
That's a big advantage. That's a big advantage when you're talking about, you know, your program versus school. You know, if the kids get to practice 4.5 hours versus your 1.5 hours, you know, your development in talent will skyrocket. Because while this kid is sitting in, you know, this elective class that actually doesn't transfer to college, and your kid is out there getting up 400 or 500 shots in that same hour, their skill level is like really surpassing what, you know, what you would do in a regular school. Is this something like new? This wasn't, I never heard of nothing like this when I played.
This is definitely new.
I was thinking this is like the new wave now. The closest thing would be homeschool, right? So you take care of your academic.
It's like a high school homeschool now.
But homeschool players couldn't, when I played, homeschool players couldn't, you had to be in class 4 periods to play in the actual basketball game.
What's the actual,
this is a new era.
Oh. what's the academic requirement?
So, to be honest, I let the academic people handle all that side.
That's probably more important.
I mean, you
didn't say like, oh, I'm a development coach and I'm also a school. I'm going to teach algebra. That's the important thing. You brought in.
That's
educators.
Why you have partners. And mm-hmm. You partner up with.
So that's a very important thing to clarify for people. That.
Yeah, clarify that. What are you about to say?
Online. This is the online. Like you do online classes.
Yeah, so we have an online version.
No, what I'm saying is.
But it's like doing all there.
No, what I'm saying is, okay, so like back when I played, right? Or probably still now, I don't know, regular school, you have to attend a certain amount of classes during the day to actually be active for your
like
sport.
Like a full-time student.
Yeah. You know, you can't just be like, all right, game day, I'm gonna sit at home and sleep all day.
No.
You have to be 4 classes to play.
Yeah.
Here,
you gotta take all your core classes.
Yeah, you can just take a class online. Yeah, okay. All right, I'm understanding now. Okay, y'all try to create some super athletes.
And you in school, you probably had a few absences.
I wish I had this,
that were just basketball related.
No, because, you know, basketball started like back then, was it after lunch? Was B's
and C's? Yeah, after lunch.
After lunch was like the first, so you had to be at the first
school game day. You had to be in class, right?
You did school all day.
Yeah, so you had to be there for the 4 classes to be active.
School at 8, done at 3. If you didn't have a game.
I lived across the street, so there was really no point of ditching.
I was in school full day.
Yeah, like, where am I going to go? We're going to go to the beach. Nobody at the beach. Everyone's in school still.
Yeah.
So what's the first thing parents ask you?
The school, the academics. Hey, is it fully credited? I tell them yes. And I just direct them right to the people that runs the academic department.
And then they're looking at their schedule. Is it the typical school day and then it's basketball after? Or is it kind of a blend?
So it's kind of a blend. So if this whole pandemic didn't happen, the kids would have been going to school regular, like from 8 to 11, doing all their core classes and take the elective online. And then we would go train from 12 to 3. And sometimes
the kids... You're done at lunchtime and from lunch to...
And then some of the kids that want to be overachievers, we allow them to stay. And then that's when we break up the kids in a position and we just give them skill work.
How about playing for a school team?
So that's when we created the prep school. So now we play on that prep school circuit. So prep school is like a higher scale version of AAU basketball. You probably know that.
You know about prep school now is back, these kids are putting teams
together. Well, back then, prep school to us was...
this is a basketball school.
Nah, it was, no offense, it was the East Coast things for all the kids we thought wasn't good enough to make it in their first go around of high school.
It wasn't good enough.
They had to get one more year at it.
They had like baggage or something they had to work out. They had to go to prep. Like you were in trouble, you got to go to prep school.
Yeah, it was just you like had good grades at that time.
Yeah, it was like 6 years. Like it was like a six-year senior, and like that's what we.
That was the gap year.
Yeah, it was that gap year before we went to college. You know, so it was like you didn't get any great high recruits. You know, any you went one more year and
or to develop.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's what, you gotta remember, we're the West Coast, so we didn't really know.
You have that, right. No, the real education's on the East Coast.
So we, you know, we're sitting here like, he's how old? He in high school one more year? You know, it was one of those things like, oh, he just was trash. But then some of them start, and then I guess you start building some of these kids in from, they came there at 9th grade and 10th grade and 11th, and it just wasn't like this senior, you know, like it started, like once you started understanding and realizing, wait, no, he's a freshman at this school, not a 6-year senior.
It changed a lot.
And then we started realizing, okay, that's why they're better than everyone, because it's more of a recruiting type of style. And they're picking the elite. It's just not like, all right, we're about to go to school. And then, all right, basketball tryout. No. And then you'd be like, yo, we going to be trash this year, bro. Rudy ain't here today. That's how you know. I thought Rudy was going to try out. I was like, nah, he told me he was coming here. You know, you found out
too late
what your team looked like when it was tryouts.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, this is about to be a bad year here. Right? Because you got to remember, like...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You got to remember, yeah. Like, that's why it used to be funny, because... Like, y'all don't have, like, you had to be part of that era where, like, all right, listen, we all gonna go to, you and your boys go to the same school, right? You start off the school year, and usually the beginning of the school year is like, we call it, it's like traffic. It's like running in traffic. All the fights is gonna happen. I mean, 10% of the school is gonna be kicked out in the first 2 weeks. And usually it was always the athletes, and it's like, you know, so you think your boy's like there, and he'd be like, what happened? He got kicked out. Oh man, where'd he go? And you find out that your good players that you were supposed to be with got kicked out already, and they going to a whole nother school. So when basketball season started up, you was like, man.
Yeah, the era changed.
Bunch of nerds here, boy.
It's totally different now.
I know it's different now.
What was it that you recognized that these young kids need?
This and the knowledge of the game. They just needed mentors. A lot of these kids don't have their mentors. It shows on the court. Like some of these high school, you've been there. You watch some of these things.
Okay, is it the parents is usually the problem?
Who knows? I don't know.
Not in your program. You got good parents in your program.
Oh, yeah.
What you see out in the circuit, some bad.
No, I'm not saying that. Who knows?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, there's bad coaches.
Foundation at home, but then in their sport or whatever field, they probably don't have the right mentor for that.
Gil, you got that shine today? Me, I smell good. I don't know if you got that close yet. I don't know if you want to, but I got my work scent on today. My work scent from Hawthorne.
Your work scent?
And you have that extra glow about you today. I know you're camera ready at all times, mm-hmm. But what's the secret?
Lotion.
A lotion.
I'm lotioned up.
Hey, and this is all from our good friends at Hawthorne because we took a quiz, and they custom made our whole care line based on our makeups. We're different.
Yep, we're different. You can tell.
There's some obvious things.
Obvious,
but so here's how it works. We took a 2-minute quiz, and Hawthorne told us the exact colognes that were best for us. Also, lotion, shampoo, bar soap, the whole line. And now we're wearing it, and we're demonstrating. We're models, Gil. You always wanted to be a supermodel, didn't you?
Huh?
You always wanted to be a supermodel.
No, I didn't.
Didn't you?
Nope. I just like to be lotioned.
You like to be high maintenance. So here's what you do. You too can look this good. Yeah. Check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E. And use our promo code
NOCHILL
to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne, hawthorne.co. With that promo code NOCHILL.
NOCHILL.
To get 10% off your first purchase at hawthorne.co. Get right and smell good like me. All right, Gil, let's talk about our good friends at MyBookie. You know, it's summertime, and at MyBookie, that can only mean one thing. It's winning season.
Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. At MyBookie, winning season is all about your chance to win big. Bet NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, UFC, and then some. The craziest sports summer of your lifetime is here. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your intuition. Select from hundreds of future bets, or you can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big brain of yours to good use. Use the promo code
NoChill
and double your first deposit. That's promo code
NoChill.
New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Don't forget that promo code is
NoChill.
Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now to bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
So your vision for these kids is the fact that basketball can take them anywhere they want to go. And for you, think of where it took you. So do you use that in your messaging as like, you know, use this game as a vehicle?
That's one of the things all the coaches that's on staff, we stress that to these kids. Just to believe it or not, not everybody's going to make it to the league. It's real slim. So the stuff that we do in our life skills program, you want to take advantage of that because you get to meet guys that's like Gilbert, Toronto, that owns multiple businesses. We just show these kids like, hey, if things don't work out, guess what? You can invest in this. You can turn that into this type of investment. You know, just teaching these kids what to do after basketball if it don't work out.
Where's the vision of, you know, SCA? Like,
it's becoming the next IMG of the West Coast.
Okay, there we go.
That's the whole vision, man. Because a lot of top talent is leaving the West Coast, if you notice. They leave here and go to some other prep school. They go to, IMG. They go to some schools in Arizona. Or they go to Prolific Prep. Yeah, it's in California, but on the north side. So that's like, 5 hours from here? Mm-hmm. So we got all, because all we got
so
all the
So it's basically
talent
trying
here.
To keep our, do what, you
keep
know.
Keep it all here at mm-hmm. home.
And powerhouse back the West. Yeah. Or, I mean, the West is powerhouse, but.
Yeah. Even though I'm from New York.
Yeah.
But.
So, you know, you're just, you know, being a West Coast IMG and just being this elite, you know.
Exactly.
You know, okay.
Program.
And what you said for the talent that's out here too is there's options, but how do you select what players come to the academy?
Well, most of the time we have connections with a lot of AAU programs or we train some of the kids and they have teammates and we just look at them and we just have, because we have two teams. So we have one that's on the highest scale, then we have one that's in development that's going to go to that higher level later down the road and we just develop them. We don't really turn people down because we are confident enough to, we know that we could develop you to get to that level. So we don't really turn, we don't really say, hey, you can't come here because you're not good enough. We don't do that.
Okay, so I mean, so you're not necessarily like an IMG where you're just only taking elite players for winning purposes. It's more of a, we're going to build.
Yeah. But IMG has four different programs though.
Oh, okay.
So they don't.
My bad.
Yeah, they
my
don't.
My bad on the IM.
I'm trying to pump my man up.
And then I'll give you this though, because that's what I think the IMGs of the world, like they don't really measure, like we've talked about this before, the intangibles, like the heart or the drive in a kid. You know, I was like, just because you're ranked, can you get in there?
Like what he's saying, I mean, it's not like they're, you're not necessarily picking the players. Right. They're coming to you and you're like, okay, come on. Okay. So it's, you don't really, you're just, they're coming to you and you're giving them the tool to get a chance to go to the next level. So I get what it's like technically the army.
But
in a sense where, you know, I need you more than you need me style. Like exactly. you need me to help you get to this goal. Come on. So, you know, bring you and hopefully you're bringing your game and your willingness to work so you can get here.
Yeah, be all in, because we don't be all in.
And that we know you're a grinder, first and foremost, but it's also the sacrifices you're willing to make. Because why? You believe in it.
Yeah.
And you recognize an opportunity that this thing really can take off because you see a lane that other guys really aren't looking at.
Sacrifice money.
Yep.
He sacrificed money for this vision.
People need to know that.
No, that's what people don't like. This goes for anything in business, just life, and you're trying to make that next step and you're scared. And when I say he sacrificed.
Damn, you a ton of whole business.
Like, no, I'm just saying, you know, because it's like people got to understand.
Talk shit to me and him. Had,
yeah, but
man.
I'm saying people got to understand that, you know, like he's training.
This is no chill. Things
no, what I'm
up.
Saying. You're right, he's training you're right. me. He's training Karan to get back in shape. He's training, you know, players, who big three players who's right. And he's like, listen, I got to put the kids first. Man, they ain't got no goddamn job. They ain't giving you no money. What are you talking about? I was like, I'm paying you for a service. What are you talking about? He's like, bro, I can't. I got to train these kids and make sure my program is running these kids. This is my school. You know, it's
couple times. Before you get there, how did Gil react to that?
That's what I was like, that damn school. He went to the little sorry kids. You know, of course you know how. I'm trying to get ready for the B3. Them little
Yeah, look, this is my schedule, man. Yeah. So he changed up on me, so hey, I got
to so he tell me the schedule. I'm like, all right, so, I mean, 6 p.m.? What you talking about, 6 p.m.? I'm not coming at 6 p.m. It's like, yo, that's when school is over with. And then Karan's son, then Karan, and then this person. And I'm like.
Hey, but Gilbert switched up the time. Yeah, I had to switch.
Because I'm not used to it. Because it was like you got to remember, the time is 6 a.m. And then I'm battling between the overseas guys who's coming in at 5-6. So that's where I had to sit back and say, man, I'm selfish. I remember I was straight complaining. Like, man, Travis don't even want to train me no more. That's why my shot's off. Yo, you remember that?
It's your fault.
Yeah, no.
Don't blame me.
We went through 2 weeks of that. And I could be like, yo, I'm missing. Like, yeah, it's your fault. You don't want to train me. I probably only got like twofold. I only probably got like 1,000 shots in the last 2 weeks because of you. Because when I'm training, like, gotta remember, I'm on a schedule. I'm not missing. So when I start missing like 3-4.
Oh, he's mad. He bring up everything.
I bring up everything. My shoot, man. See, it's your fault. The ball. You bring the wrong ball. Who's been bouncing this ball? Like, I'm trying to make any excuse. But I remember, I was like, man, I ain't even messing with Travis today, man. You know what? I'm done. I'm not messing with Travis. I'm going to go to my own gym. Get to the gym. Realize I ain't got nobody work me out. And just be sitting there. Let me just go and tell Travis I'm sorry, man. Yeah. I understand.
Just keep us on a straight schedule. Yeah. We on a schedule. That's it. We won't change it ever.
Trav, what we know though is you're a patient guy, and then you adapt. You're adaptable to the different players that you have come through, and their different personalities.
A lot of different personalities, yeah.
But you know, but that's what's good, and that's why you know this is my guy. You know what I mean? It's you know he's dealt with the prima donnas of us NBA players. You know,
sure did.
Thinking, you got to remember when it came to time. Is when I want to work out. Like I can tell him 6 a.m. be there, and I show up at 9 or 10. And I'm expecting him to be ready.
I'll be so mad. He did that to me twice.
You know, so you know, for him to understand that and not take it personal and then put his foot down and say, listen, I got these kids. Either you come before them. Or you come after. You know what I mean? This time from here to here is blocked off. There's no exception. And I'm just pouting just.
Like who
tell me no.
Tell me no.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. He turned down, you know, all us NBA players training for his school. You're talking about money gotta pay bills. And you know, like, no, man, I don't have time. I would love it, but I don't have time. I got to get this program because my vision, you know, I don't see money right now. I see my vision, these kids, this development, this school, and I gotta put that first. Whatever comes after, comes after. If I can see you guys in the summer or in a season when school is over, I'll see you then. But this is number one. And that's what really, that's why it's here.
What did our guy Zeebo say? You bullied the bully. So, but really, it's because it's a passion. It's from the heart.
It hurt. But I was like, man, it is what it is. I had to do it.
You had a purpose.
Yep, so.
But also that also speaks to the relationship that you develop, especially like the relationship that you guys have. So, all right. Well, usually you're on the receiving end of things from Gil in a lot of ways. Your turn to give it out to him. Ask Agent Zero.
Any question.
Yeah, what do you got?
Who do you think will win this year?
Not Treasure?
Yep.
The Lakers, baby.
Why? So you don't like the Clippers?
To be honest, as a basketball player who watches and looks at, you know, I haven't seen any dominance from the Clippers throughout the season. I mean, I've seen them go on a 7-game winning streak, but that's about it. Never really seen them actually dominate. Like, I mean, they've lost to the bottom of the field, you know, at all their losses. It mostly came from the bottom, and they got handed to them by most of the West Coast teams. But I just never seen dominance. Like, they just dominated a month, 2 months, just, you know, 7-game winning streak. But I know Paul George and Kawhi was battling their injuries, so it's really hard to judge their dominance. I know everyone's looking at LeBron and them, but I know LeBron. I've seen him. I've watched him. He cruises through
so the regular season. So what team is a good matchup for them right now, though?
The good matchup, I mean, Clippers is their matchup because they have stars in the same position. So it's a star-to-star position game. So, you know, so for any one of those to win, they have to stop each other. You know, it's not like, you know, you're going to Damon, you know, it's Dame and CJ and then LeBron and AD. Now they got to hope the position of those players, right, you know, do their job. So, you know, watching the Lakers now in the bubble, I was never concerned about them winning or losing. Yeah, so with the Lakers in the bubble, I didn't put any weight on none of this because it's foreign, it's new, it's basically more of getting in shape. You know, so I didn't put no, like, Clippers, Milwaukee, Lakers. I wasn't really putting any emphasis on, I wasn't going to judge those because they are the top tier. Mm-hmm. So from there, it's just getting in shape, make sure none of us really get hurt.
So who you think is the next star player?
The next star? Like?
Besides LeBron.
Of this young group, the next
Yeah.
group.
Whew.
Like the next, like, GOAT.
Basically.
I mean, you know, so KD and them are out.
The younger
that group.
Yeah.
Younger than that.
They're the
best. So that means you're talking about Ja, Zion, Luka, Trae Young, Tatum. You know, when you're talking about GOAT, you have to stand out in your position. You know, so the person who's gonna stand out, you're talking about, who has the advantage over everyone in his position, would be Luka. You know, as a yeah. point guard sitting at 6'9", you're gonna offset it, you know, so your longevity takes you to 18, 20 years mm-hmm. because you know, you're slow now. No matter when you slow up, you still got the height advantage over all your point guards. You have the freakish nature of someone like Ja at the point guard, you know, you're putting him in the Westbrook type of, you know, vision of what he can do dominating wise offensively as a guard. Trae Young is following in that Steph Curry, you know, mode. So his success is going to be built on scoring. I mean, built on winning. So, you know, he's going to have to build a team or he's just going to be a guy who put up numbers. Zion, is the ideal person that, you know, that has the most hype. The only thing that's going to be his downfall is just his weight. And it's not even fat weight. It's just body muscle,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's going to be his biggest struggle every summer. Just like learning how not to pick up 10, 15 pounds in a week.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say that's going to be his biggest struggle because that's going to be a really big struggle for him. You're trying to tell a 19, 20-year-old, you know, don't lift weights. Because you got to remember, you get bigger as you get older. So, you know, if you're sitting at 290, 310, let's just be honest, he's sitting somewhere around 290 to 310 at 20 years old, evolution says you're going to get worse. So it's like taking in, understanding, mentally saying, you know what, I need to take the challenge of being 265, coming in at 260. Like, reality, if I'm the coach, if I'm his staff, if parents or whatever, I'm in his ear, our goal every summer is to be around 255 to 265, knowing that you're going to pick up 10 to 15 pounds during season, you know, from eating and playing and, you know, not being able to, you know, what's the name? So, you know, you have your money on those guys as, you know, the future, you know, same thing with, you know, someone like Ben Simmons. Also, he's part of that group. You gotta look at players that have, it's also body size that can take the pounding of each year. You're talking about kids like Fox, but, you know, us guards, us fast guards, we have, depending on, you know, our shelf life of, you know, how long we can sustain it.
I'm going to throw one out there, Devin Booker, just because I like his game so much. I forgot he's young.
You're sitting a guy with 4 years in NBA, you'd be like, Devin, goddammit, is only 20-something.
Yeah, 23. All right, Trav, we're going to throw one out there, one for the road as we go, but kid from Brooklyn, discovered the game, brought him out here to L.A. So you're both coast now. We can give you East Coast, West Coast. How's that?
You know what? We're going to say you're an East Coast guy teaching the West Coast to grind. Because, you know, we're...
Take that one.
Yeah, we're so laid back.
Don't lose the East Coast.
It's that grit and grind and that fight that he's bringing the East Coast mentality to us West Coast kids.
Yep. Hard-nosed players, right?
With some style. I like that one. There you go.
And then, you know, everything that you've done as TNT and then where you're at now with Southern California Academy. For people that need to know, where can they find out more information?
You can go to our website, SouthernCaliforniaAcademy.com, or go to our Facebook or Instagram at SCA.SouthernCalifornia.
There it is right there. Yep. Educational, overdue episode of No Chill.
Yes, sir.
Fam with our guy.
Congratulations, man, on the success. You know me, I'm...
It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Because, I mean, I've seen it from the beginning, you know what I mean?
I was there.
You know? You know, in the closet with the guy, like, yo, man, I thought you was going to come through. Okay, I'm going to still be here. Check back with you next week. You know, the pursuit of happiness, that's what it kind of, you know, not living on the streets, but that fight. And that's what's beautiful about, you know, seeing you smile now because, you know, I know where the stress was kicking in and you still like, let me just wake up and just keep focusing, you know.
And the reward is not just a one-day payoff, it's every day.
Yeah, the reward is the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, the reward is watching these kids develop, watching these kids grow, watching these kids succeed, I understood it now.
What was a small little tree, it's growing up, and then the branches are going to be all these kids and everywhere that basketball takes them. So we're watching, man.
Thank you, man. Love it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. For Gilbert Arenas, for Travis Nichols, I'm Mike Botticello. This has been No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Remember, you can catch us every Monday at 8 p.m. on Fubo. We'll catch you next time.